And we're back, episode 47 of the Moto 247 show here. I'm Ezra Henry, joined by Joey Crown. And man, there's been a lot of good racing recently. I think we haven't done a podcast in, since Daytona for sure, but at least the last two rounds, haven't recapped all that good racing that has been going on since then. But man, some really good racing been going on. And I was watching Indy from the car driving back up from Daytona, and geez, that racing was so good. That track was absolutely gnarly, and I was on the edge of my seat, and unfortunately with the internet connection, like I lost connection in the main, and right as soon as like the last, or the around the last lap, it might have been like two laps to go in the 450 main, lost connection and was just on the edge of my seat there with rocks and just barely holding on. But man, some really good racing in the 450 class, and the 250 class was, you know, all right. Definitely wish there was, like, Thrasher or Smith could have been up there, further up there challenging Hunter. But besides that, like, I really can't complain. I think there's been some pretty good racing.
Yeah, it's been pretty entertaining. Daytona and Indy, saw a lot in the 450 class I didn't really expect. Tomac kind of had one of his weirdo races again, and Barsha rode really well, which rode well at Daytona as well, but he kind of backed up that result at Indy, which I was a little bit surprised. And then, Kenny, you know, the old Ken Roczen showed up. It was really cool to see him do well. And I didn't see that fully coming after Daytona. Like, I don't know when he got, like, eighth or something. And, yeah, that's a heck of a rebound. But I knew if he was going to do good, like, Indy is a good round for him. You know, the last time he was there, was it in 21, I think?
Yeah, wasn't it when there was two races there?
Well, they had three races there, I think.
Yeah, yep.
I think it was three, and he won all three of them. So, and then I guess he's won prior to that as well. So I knew he was going to be solid there. But clearly he turned it around, and which is great for the series, and to have Barsha finding his stride, and Ken also figuring things out as well. So hopefully those are two more players to the game. I mean they're out of it for the title, but at least, you know, spoilers make it a little more interesting for us, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And it's honestly so weird with Ken, though, because we all know what he's capable of doing. Like, going back years ago before his injury, he was just absolutely lighting the world on fire and stuff. And since then, he's been, you know, really hot and cold, and just been, it seems like he's been going through hell since then. But still had a lot of good, you know, really good rides with Honda and stuff, but still it just hasn't been, you know, the same Ken Roczen that we've been, you know, used to seeing. And I remember him coming up, and I've probably talked about it here on the podcast before, but, you know, he was super young when he made his 450 debut, and, he was on fire then, battling with Dungey and everything. And then lately, it's just so hot and cold and really unpredictable, and especially now throwing in the whole new team and a whole new bike in the mix, too. And I honestly didn't know where to really put him. And I think I put him in my fantasy for, like, fifth or something. I'm not 100% sure on that. But, like, every weekend, I kind of want to add him up in there, maybe, you know, fourth or fifth, or going maybe on the podium, but I definitely wasn't expecting to win. And, he rode good, and going back to Daytona, he rode good in the heat race and stuff, but just didn't look good in the main. Then fast forward in the last weekend, he, you know, looked good in the heat race, and Barsha got him, though, but, he showed he had the speed. But I definitely, after he got the whole shot, and Adam was right there, Chase was right there, and I'm surprised, first off, that Barsha caught all the way up from, I think he was in like six or something, but, the Webb was there, you know, almost all the heavy hitters except for Tomac pretty much, and definitely surprised he pulled it off. I thought Chase was going to get him, but unfortunately had that crash, which I'm so tired about talking about, and even hearing about. Just, it seems like every moto page on social media is talking about Chase and, you know, his crazy crashes and just the freak incidents, and And I'm just really feel bad for him because I bet he hears that every weekend. And he has the speed and he's just absolutely blazing fast, but, you know, just having some dumb mistakes and just some really bad luck at some times. But he's still, I think he's like 13 points back, which, you know, isn't huge in the, you know, with almost half the championship to go. But going back to Roczen, yeah, he looked really good and just wonder if he can actually put it together because, you know, we've seen over the last couple of years, like you said, in Indy when he won three in a row and he had that red plate that year too. And, you know, he just couldn't put it together and just not a full season, you know, full 17 rounds. So kind of curious to see how he's going to do. And especially since he said, you know, he's done testing with the bike like he was for the first eight rounds or so. But yeah, just a really good ride for him. And I'm just really pumped.
Yeah, it's cool to see. I'm stoked for Kenny. And usually he comes out swinging in the first round and then peters out throughout the year. So this is a little bit different. I guess he struggled at the beginning of the year, which is, you know, to be expected, switching to the Suzuki Hemp team and kind of expected a little bit. And it's just taken a while to get going. But now, you know, he won that race, so that'll hopefully give him some confidence and in his equipment and in himself. Like, I've heard he kind of doubts himself a little bit, even though, I mean, he's Ken Roczen and he really should have no doubt. But, and like going, you know, just talking more about the race, but the other guys, with Chase, like, I thought for sure this Chase or Cooper was going to win that. Like, it was, you know, and I kind of nodded out my mind the way it was unfolding in the beginning of that. And then Chase had his crash. And I heard, I think it was Justin Brayton talking or someone talking on an interview about Chase. And it made, like, perfect sense to me. And like, this crash was yet another one. It just confirmed that theory. But they're talking that, you know, Chase is super fast, but he has all these mistakes. And I think it's because he attacks the track. Like, it's not changing sometimes. Like, he hits a rut corner or a corner that there was a rut in the heat race, but they groomed it for the main, hits it the same way and you lose the front. Or, like, I don't know, what was, maybe Oakland, like, he was threeing and singling in the turn. Like, he kept hitting it the same way. And eventually, like, in the tracks deteriorate, like, you lose traction. So like, the track was deteriorating, it's getting a little more slippery, but he just kept trying to attack it the same way. And he knifed the front and crashed. And he just has to work on reading the track, which is, you know, easier said than done. He's going so fast. But, and then, like, this past weekend, you know, like, reading the track, like, that rut he hit, he tried laying in it super hard, like he probably has in previous laps, and it's caught his foot peg and, you know, ripped him off the bike and made him crash. So he just didn't just read it properly. So that kind of makes sense to some of his mistakes that are happening, and he clearly has the speed. But then, and Cooper, he was my pick to win this weekend with the ruts. Usually, you know, forms a lot of ruts, so you have to cut down tight in the turns to stay out of the deep ruts, and whoops, getting chewed out to where their jumpers. But yeah, he struggled surprisingly, and the two guys definitely didn't really expect, you know, Kenny and Marcia Rose to take one and two. Pretty surprised.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. Like, Webb, he was right there. And like you said about Chase, you know, not adapting the track when it's changing. And, you know, Webb's great with, you know, the racecraft and changing, you know, late in the moto when it's, you know, when they have 23, 24 laps on the track and it's absolutely beat up and stuff. And yeah, I'm like, okay, Webb's going to get on that. It was like 5 minutes in. I'm like, I'm surprised if Roxon's still leading this. And like every couple of minutes, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then, like, I honestly didn't even think it was like a real possibility that almost like halfway in. And then, you know, somehow he managed that, like, what, like 3.5 second gap. But still, Barsha was absolutely on it. Definitely wasn't expecting him to get by Webb. And then even after his ride in Daytona too, like, he looked really good there. And I just didn't expect him to come back at all. I don't think I had him in my fantasy at all. If I did, it might have been like a fifth, but I'm I probably had him in fifth. I don't know my picks. I should have pulled him up, but definitely not. I didn't expect him on the podium, but yeah, he looked really good. He's almost looking like that old Bam Bam, like on factory Honda back in the day. Like he just has that aggressiveness now, and he just looks really good. So I'm really excited for Detroit. Really excited to go back and be there in person the first time in a couple of years and see the racing there. But yeah, those two definitely surprised me, and I have no idea where to put those two this weekend. Like, I don't know if they're going to be back up there, because I can see Eli, you know, he had that freak ride, getting eighth, which I'm super ticked off about, because I had Craig for my Rocky Mountain fantasy pick, or the wild card, in eighth, and then Craig gets Tomac, and like, late in the moto, and I'm like, of course, like, my fantasy season has been going absolutely horrible. And I had that, and didn't you have Craig too?
Yeah, I had Craig. He was in. And then who would have thought Tomac would drop to eighth on the last two laps or whatever?
Yeah, like I want to see that percentage of people that picked him for first.
Craig tripled by him in a rhythm. Tomac was just doubling through a rhythm, and Craig just tripled by him. Like, it wasn't like, you know, Tomac was looked like he was trying, and Craig Patton, no, and Tomac was riding around. Like, dude, what's going on here? Like, it's crazy how you can be so good and then have that. A bad ride being fifth, okay, you know, that's understandable. But eighth, like, that's, dude, it's unacceptable. Like, that.
Yeah, and especially in a track that he's normally, you know, would have been good at, too, so.
Yeah, it's a gnarly track. You think, you know, he's one of the fittest guys out there. He just killed everyone at Daytona. You know, he figured he would do the. Hopefully, the second series he can rebound, because I'm worried now with Webb, you know, with the points lead. And he rode really good at Daytona. Webb did. And he's been riding good lately. This past weekend was, I think, a little bit below what everyone I expected out of him there. But still, a bad ride is that's pretty darn good, because Tomac's bad ride is an eighth. So, and you can see now Webb's at the points lead. So,
yeah, I definitely did not expect that. Like I said, Webb was going to be good this year, because just how he's, like, really good for a year, and then he, you know, the next year he's not that good, then it's, you know, just vice versa, just really good, and then having an off season, then really good again, and I was kind of joking around with that going into this year, but I don't know, if that's honestly not too crazy, you know, he's a two-time champion and stuff, but did not have him, you know, being up there holding the red plate this late in the championship, but, and the thing with Tomac, it's like, I don't know what to think about him, because he's had, like, the best start to, you know, the season with in the West Coast, I think, you know, ever in his career, best start, most points through, what was it, like the first six rounds or something like that. And then he hasn't been too bad on the East Coast, just, you know, having bad results in Tampa and Indy, which, you know, like you said, Tampa's a fifth. It's not like that's some crazy bad ride, but, you know, so just, I guess, mainly having one really bad ride. But still, like, I don't know what to think about him, because he's on a new bike and everything, but he's looked good. You know, so many, you know, times this season, it's like I honestly don't know what to think. Like, I feel like he's still gonna always be right there, but it's like I don't know. Webb's just, you know, he's just really gritty, and I think he's gonna be, you know, he's gonna always be right there. If it's a second or a third, where Tomac might, I can see him winning some more, but also having some more bad rides. But I don't know if I see him getting eighth again, but I hope not. You know, I'm a huge Tomac fan, but I don't know what to think about him. Like last year, like going back to last year, it's like, if you're comparing years from last year to this year, it's, I don't know, some good, some bad in each year, but it's like, I don't know, like, he's just kind of, I just guess, hard to explain, but like, he's been so hot, then just had, you know, some really cold rides, but I don't know. I have no idea if I'm going to pick him for my fantasy pick. I feel like I joke around every episode, because I pick Sexton, and I always get screwed by Sexton falling. And then Tomac gets the win. So going to make those at the end of the episode, so I have some time to think. But I'm still not sure with Tomac or anyone. It seems like there's not that many riders that are kind of predictable where, you know, normally you know where a certain guy is going to be. He's going to be, you know, around fourth or fifth or consistently, you know, up there, you know. But just right now, this year's just so hard.
Yeah, a couple of rounds, it was getting predictable. Like, it was, you know, it was going to be Tomac, Chase, or Cooper on the podium. Like, that was the podium. And then Anderson and Plessinger were right around there. Maybe Kenny. Like, that was, like, the top five for a few rounds. Like, the one round, I got the top four right in my fantasy. Like, one through four right. And I was like, oh, man, this is easy. And, like, the next weekend, I figured, you know, I'd be the same. And I got, like, fourth and fifth right, maybe first right. But then past couple rounds, everything's flipped upside down on its head. And now with Marsha and Kenny getting in there, it's like two other riders, like, oh, shoot, well, is this them now? Like, are they podium threats, or is that just a fluke? Yeah, it for sure makes it hard. But and then Anderson, like,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that guy. Like, he's fast in practice, but put it together in the race. And I thought, like, last year he killed it. Excuse me. I figured he was going to be right up in there battling for the title, but he's not the same dude as he was last year.
Yeah, kind of another guy that's unpredictable. Like, I'm looking at the results right now, and he qualified. Where's he at? Qualified fifth, started sixth in the main, and got fifth in the main. So, I don't, like, I know it's really hard to come through the pack in the 450 class here, but still, like, the way he was last year, you would think he'd be, if he started fifth, or what'd he get, sixth in the main event, you'd think he'd be up in the podium, you know, for sure. But, like, he's another guy, like, you know, what the heck's going on? Like, Barsha did it, you know, I think Barsha started, like, seventh. And he caught up there and, you know, was just so close to getting that win there.
Yeah, going into this year, Anderson, I thought he was way better than Marsha would be. But all this year, that hasn't really been the case. I mean, Anderson's shown some flashes, but and then he's done a lot of bonehead moves, like picking fights with guys, which I didn't really think him to be that way. I mean, a little bit, but not as much as he's been this year. He's been really extra with it, and it's cost him. He's been on the ground, and guys retaliating or trying to take someone out and takes himself out. Like, dumb stuff you can't be doing if you want to be fighting for a title. Like, look at...
Yeah, he's almost riding like he's playing, like, a video game or something, like Supercross the game, like, online, when he's trying to take some guy out that he, you know, you get pissed off and you just go fifth gear some guy. He's almost acting like that this year. It's like, there's a little bit more on the line for you, you know? Like, you're capable of a lot, dude.
Tomac, Webb, and Roczen, Roczen, but I meant Sexton, but, you know, any four of those guys, they're not doing that crap that Barsha and Anderson does, and you look at the results, and, like, they're not making enemies out there. That's, like, people... You know, some people love aggressive riding, dirty riding. I mean, I hate it because I hate racing guys that are like that. I don't race that way. And two, like, I'm not going to race the way because I don't want to make enemies, you know? Because, like, if you take this guy out this weekend, you know, next week he might pay you back. It might really cost you. Or you might be lapping him and he won't get out of your way. Or, what, you know, you don't want to make enemies when you're trying to fight for a title. And it's dangerous enough to just racing dirt bikes alone, being an idiot and trying to take people out. Not necessarily that he always does that, but and his moves are relatively safe, but they're aggressive. But, I mean, he still can hurt the people taking him out. But.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, like risk versus reward of taking someone out. Like, I don't know, if I got cleaned out, like, I don't know, like, I guess you can bet that the next weekend I'm going to aim for you. And, you know, if there's not a clear shot, I probably won't take it. But if there's a pretty good opportunity, I'm going to, you know, go up the inside and get them. But I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't be good at all because I just let my emotions get the best of me. I pull like an Anderson or something and just clean people out. But I guess that's a good reason why I don't do that. But but yeah, it's like, I don't know. Like, I thought he was going to be a title contender for sure. I thought it was going to be, you know, him, Chase, and Tomac. And I honestly didn't really know where to put Webb, but, you know, he's up there, and really cool to see, you know, from Webb. But, yeah, still a lot of good racing going on. And the cool thing, too, is, or cool or weird, whatever you want to describe it as, is I think, isn't that like the top nine or nine out of the top 10 guys are their contracts up at the end of the year, too? Whereas, like, there's going to be a lot of moving around, I feel like, this year, too, so... That's another thing that, you know, there's been so many rumors going around, and I'm not sure who signed, you know, if anyone signed yet with anyone, but yeah, I'm really curious to see how the championship's going to play out and how that plays out too with riders, you know, flipping teams.
Yeah, I think it's only people who are signed, like the factory guys. I think it's Craig Malcolm and Adam Cicero. I think that's it. Everyone else is up. So yeah, it would for sure be interesting what happens and who switches to what. If people, I mean, they might stay where they are, but there's definitely a lot of rumors out there. And it's going to be really a raging silly season for sure. Once we get towards outdoors, there'll be more and more rumors, you know, swirling around. And it'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, like the big rumor right now is obviously Chase Sexton going the Red Bull KTM, which I don't know. Like, I'm a little bit curious to see how that would play out and stuff. I know, like, a lot of people, like Roczen, he couldn't really do much with his Red Bull deal and stuff. And obviously Chase is, you know, has the Monster deal, so he would have to drop that to go to the Red Bull KTM, obviously. But like just stuff like that, and then Roczen too. Like, wonder if he could possibly land on a factory team or not. But still, like, if I was thinking, like, where could he go though, because there's not that many, I don't think there's that many options. And plus hearing too that, you know, like, if they sign, let's say a team signs someone like Chase, you know, it's gonna be hard to afford someone like a Ken Roczen. So I don't know, I'm curious to see how that plays out. And honestly, I'm surprised he didn't sign with the Firepower Honda guys going into this year. But curious to see if he stays on Suzuki too. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of flipping around. And plus, you know, riders moving up and stuff. And I'm also curious to see what Cooper's going to do. Justin Cooper, that is. Because he looked pretty good this year. Honestly, he surprised me. He was up there, you know, battling with Roczen too. And when Roczen was, you know, having the seventh place, eighth place rides earlier this year. But, yeah, he looked really good. So, you know, got him coming up, got Jet coming up. And it's just crazy. And the thing is crazy too with that, the whole pointing out the 250 class too, how Nichols got screwed with that, Cooper got screwed with that, and now they're, you know, they changed that and they can't really go back down, so it kind of sucks. But yeah, I think next year is going to be really good, but just curious to see how this is all going to play out and going into the outdoors and stuff. But yeah, a lot of good racing has been going on so far, and one guy I wanted to talk about too, because he gets so much hype, is Logan Carnow. And he's, I think, made the last three main events in a row after missing a ton earlier this year. It was pretty crazy. I don't know if you heard him, but I think it was Logan's family or something. But we're kind of near where we were sitting in Daytona. Like, they just went crazy when he made the main. And it's crazy to see how much just attention and hype that guy gets every week. And you hear the crowd going crazy for someone that's, you know, just done. A main event guy, you know, getting, you know, 20, 21st, 22nd there. Cool to see, but yeah, definitely interesting. Then he's bringing the trend of the OnlyFans sponsors, which is kind of funny. I feel like that's kind of like the CBD stuff back a couple years ago, where not that many people wanted to talk about it, and, you know, the whole censored thing they had to do on NBC and stuff was kind of funny. But yeah, what do you think about him? You know, putting in some better rides in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I know OnlyFans is paying him a crap ton of money. I've heard some pretty crazy numbers, and so it's good. He needs to be putting in the main. You know, if they're going to be paying him that much money, and And, like, I'm not for all the OnlyFans stuff, but, like, they're bringing in money to the sport, and I'm all for that. And the fact, like, hopefully they can, they'll stay in the sport and keep pushing money in the sport. And I don't know if I was racing right now. I mean, like I said, I'm not for OnlyFans, but, dude, if they're paying me a bunch of money, I'll put OnlyFans on my shroud, like...
Well, it's kind of weird, too, because, like, honestly, like, I know, like, the company OnlyFans, they don't want to really promote the whole, like, the all the girls and all the nudie stuff and porn stuff they have in there because, you know, that's the majority of it. Like, if you go on their Instagram, all they're promoting is athletes and stuff, which I think Carno has one that's pretty similar to, you know, all the fighters and stuff that are on there where it's, you know, kind of like a behind-the-scenes look on their training and... you know, race day stuff and game day stuff and whatnot. But I know they promote that, but it's weird because it's like they're promoting that, but yeah, they're not really complaining about all the nudie stuff that the girls are doing on there because that's bringing in, you know, like I want to see the percentage pie on that, but that has to be bringing in like a huge percentage of their income on that stuff. So it's kind of weird. Yeah, it's really cool to see an outside sponsor come in the sport though and invest some money in the sport, which, you know, it's kind of been struggling and stuff. And you know, with just getting, you know, sponsorships where you see some other sports just landing so many different big name companies. But yeah, it's definitely weird because it's like, it's honestly kind of a good idea and a good platform to do something if you're an athlete. But I think just the whole, the name is kind of ruined by all the nudie stuff on there, which is kind of funny though to me.
Yeah, it started out as for athletes and stuff like that, and then yeah, it's changed for sure now to what is known as. But it is cool that, you know, how they're promoting it through Logan and I believe Chase Kessler's same kind of deal. They don't want to promote the girl side of it, you know, they want to promote the other side of OnlyFans and build it up that way and sponsoring them through that way and the PG version of it, you know, and they want to get people to know it for that. Like, I think they're kind of trying to change the name or the meaning of their name, which is cool. It's a good way of doing it, sponsoring guys like that and not having girls on the shrouds or whatever. Girls.
Yeah, which I
profile names. But.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea because, yeah, like I said, they're almost known for all the stuff, you know, the PGs or the rated R stuff they have on there where it's, you know, if they can get that hype. Yeah, straight up dirty stuff. But, yeah, like if they can promote that to where they actually get it, because I think now, like if you have OnlyFans on your phone, you might as well just have porn pulled up because even if you're probably, you know, following. Well, if you're a guy on OnlyFans, you're probably doing some stuff that you probably shouldn't. But, but no, like if you have that pulled up, just if someone's, you know, just right next to you looking at your phone, they're almost assuming it's some, you know, dirty crap. Where, yeah, if they can get that to where they can get that big enough to where athletes are using that, and honestly though, like that's a good thing for them and the athletes too, because if it's like a $5, you know, per month subscription, you know, that's a really good way for privateers to make money too and you know, help them get from round to round. But yeah, really want to keep my eye on that too and just see how that goes, because it seems like more and more riders are doing that, you know. What's it, just those two, right, that are sponsored by OnlyFans right now, but there's a handful more that are sponsored by OnlyFans creators and stuff. So it seems like one of those trends, like the CBD MD stuff was, and I guess all the CBD brands back a couple years ago, which that kind of died out and kind of, I think everyone forgot about. But yeah, I just kind of find it funny how that's come in. And I saw something on Twitter today where I think Carnell posted it, where he was saying that you can't say OnlyFans on the NBC broadcast or Race Day Live. So, because I don't know if people are complaining, but he made it sound like people were complaining that Ricky and Lee and all the other announcers weren't mentioning OnlyFans. But I think that's, he said it was an NBC thing. So kind of funny because, you know, like the whole thing with CBD where that had, you know, Chad Reed had that censored sticker on his helmet and stuff a couple years ago. So I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of funny. But
Yeah, that's what, when Logan was leading the LCQ, I was like waiting for them to say it. Like, I'm like, are they, I was just on the edge of my seat if they're gonna say like OnlyFans backed rider Logan Cargill or whatever, you know. And they never did, which, not that I was surprised. I would have more surprised if they said it, but I was really curious if they're going to. But yeah, it makes sense that they can't.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, especially in the world now where you're seeing the mainstream media like NBC and all these other news companies post the weirdest stuff ever that I don't think we've ever seen, just because they want to not hurt anyone's feelings and want to promote everything, and it's so messed up. And I can go on a long rant about that, which I'm not going to, but I can sit here for hours, which I know we want to keep this short, but yeah, it's just kind of really ironic. But it was funny too with Jace Kessler crashing in the LCQ. Like, it was a perfect shot of his shroud there, and I saw Twitter just was lighting up. Like, people that didn't even know his name, they're like, oh my god, the kid that crashed. It was, you know, just, they're making jokes about the OnlyFans sponsorship on there, and it was just funny. But which, you know, honestly sucked for him. He got a good start there in the LCQ, but just to see all that, all the craziness on Twitter after that was kind of funny though.
Yeah, for sure. It's sure good for the sport, bringing in extra outside money, but need to get like Chipotle sponsoring teams or something. That would be really cool.
Yeah, what the heck? Didn't we mention that? I remember doing a podcast. It had to be like 2 years ago at your house where, like, you brought up Chipotle, and I tagged them in a post, and what the heck? They never even saw it.
Like, yeah.
You know, many guys, you know, go out there after the track, like, come on, Chipotle.
Yeah.
I'll
just keep
on spamming them.
Like, that's pretty much what everyone cares at the races. All, like, the majority of the race teams, like, if they're not making food, they're catering Chipotle. It's good food. Healthy food is actually on majority of the guys' diets. So, but, yeah, that'd be sick. As a team, sponsored by Chipotle, that'd be pretty legit. Wishful thinking, I think, but I don't know. You want to talk about 250 class a little bit?
Yeah, you're reading my mind. Just pulled up the results from that right now because I want to talk about that first, but I got off ranting about the 450 class or whatever the heck was I was talking about with Roxon and stuff. But yeah, the 250 class was pretty good racing. Just Hunter Lawrence, I don't know, he's just looking really solid and stuff. And I was hoping Thrasher to be up there, but and he's still putting in a really good ride on P2, but. Just the points gap is pretty big now where it's, you know, kind of just ready for Hunter just to, you know, the rail it in the last couple rounds and wrap it up.
Yeah, I was really hoping Thrasher would get in there and give us a payback for Daytona. I was not pumped on Hunter's move at Daytona. Like, that was ridiculous, in my opinion. Dude, just race him clean. Like, he left the door open. Or you didn't leave the door open. He was going around the outside of you. You blew out of your line to hit him. I thought that wasn't very cool. And it's obvious that Thrasher, before that race, and even still is, but now the points gap's big, but Thrasher was the biggest threat to Hunter's Hunter's championship run, you know, which I'm kind of surprised that Thrasher is the one that's stepping up into that, but he's been riding really good and clearly has been. He was off to a good start there in Daytona, and then Hunter taking him out made it kind of like unraveled his race. And then this weekend, he just didn't quite have the speed, which, I mean, I was happy he didn't send it and crash, which is easy to do there at Indy. How gnarly the ruts are, and he's not a rookie anymore, but he's not a veteran, but like kind of like Hunter is at this point. So him salvaging a P2 was good, but yeah, Hunter was solid, which I figured he would be there. He's a smooth, calculated rider, kind of like Kenny is, which is key in those types of conditions. Yeah, be interesting. The rest of the year, hopefully Thrasher can get up in there and battle a little bit more and make it less boring just watching Connor put on a clinic.
No, yeah, for sure. And going back to Daytona, like you were saying, like Well, Thrasher was that guy that was, you know, he'd get a win last year and stuff, then be back in like P8, you know, and just be so hot and cold. And going into this year, he was looking really good. And I was keeping an eye on him most of the time in qualifying at Daytona when we were there. And he was looking on fire. Like I wasn't looking at the times or anything, but just, you know, from the naked eye, like he looked really good. And yeah, just to see that, like, which honestly, it's really weird though, because I was expecting so many people just to go off on Hunter on social media, like everyone does after some takeout. But like, he didn't really get that much backlash from that, even from the guys in the booth, which I'm kind of honestly surprised about, because I thought it was just way over the line. I was really pissed when that happened. Where, you know, we were sitting there was kind of sucked, because we're kind of near that corner, just on the opposite side of that berm though, so I couldn't exactly see what happened. But I went back and, you know, watched the footage from the race, and just, you know, seeing the camera angle on the other side, it's, you know, clear. He just went in there and ran it up on him, and it's really a move that was unnecessary. You know, there's, you know, Thrasher went to the outside of the berm, and he could have just went into the middle there, and like they're doing all day long, which just really sucks. But yeah, now it's, yeah, kind of too little too late for Thrasher, where I don't see, you know, anyone do, unless Hunter has some really horrible luck, which, like, I want the championship to be close, but I do like Hunter and stuff, but really pissed off with that crap or that takeout. But yeah, it's, unless he has some horrible luck, he's gonna, you know, it's gonna be a little bit hard for, I guess, anyone like to catch him this late. But and besides that though, there is some good racing, like Anstey, I'm really surprised about. Like, I knew he was gonna be doing really good. I think a lot of people didn't have him doing nearly as good as he's doing right now, but definitely surprised that he's, you know, consistently being up there. He's just a tad bit off the, you know, the pace of Hunter and stuff, but yeah, I'm really pumped on him doing that. And what do you think about his interview? Was it from, I think it was from Daytona a couple weeks ago, where he was saying how he's going to do World Super or Supercross over here in the States, World Supercross and Australian Supercross, and because they were asking him if he was going to do the outdoors, and he was like, I went 5-5 at Southwick last year and only made $1,500, and then he was just saying somehow, yeah, that was a lot of work for $1,500.
No, I didn't watch Daytona back, but I heard something about him calling out the motocross payout, and it is true. Like, it's ridiculous, the payout for outdoors. I mean, even Supercross isn't that great, but there's a lot more team manufacturer support for Supercross. I mean, look at all the Supercross only teams, you know, out there, which she's on one of them. But it's cool. Like, he blew them out on the interview there. Cause yeah, it's a lot of things that riders don't say or complain enough about. Cause I mean, usually the guys that are going 5-5 are factory riders, which he wasn't. So he wasn't, you know, he's not getting salary or bonuses. He's just, that's the money. I mean, he's probably getting some bonuses, but he's banking on the track payouts versus more like someone like myself racing. And yeah, outdoors cost way more, like financially, wear and tear on the bikes and parts. And but then it's a lot more work too, like 35 minutes plus two. Or two 30 plus two motos. It's a lot of work on the body, demand on the body, versus, you know, Supercross. It was really mentally draining and tough, but yeah, it's cool he called him out like that.
Yeah, I'm glad he said that, because, you know, World Supercross is here, and they're stealing riders. You know, nothing crazy, but like, the, you know, Savachi's going over there this year and stuff. But, you know, they're coming, and they're going to, you know, have a pretty good payout and stuff, which I'm not exactly sure how much it is, you know, for compared to like Supercross over here and whatnot. But yeah, just, it's kind of sucks, because honestly, like, I want to see the outdoors remain, you know, just where all the contenders are, right? Because there's a lot of talk if World Supercross is going to steal a lot of riders, which, you know, it doesn't seem like it. At least, you know, I mean, in the next couple of years, you know, it shouldn't. But Yeah, it's just kind of BS, but the riders are getting paid for the outdoors, and it's crazy. Like you said, the motos are absolutely brutal, too, and yeah, just to go there, just to barely make anything, like 5.5, that's in the 450 class, it's absolutely great, and to get $1,500, that's just absolutely a joke, so it's kind of funny just hearing him say that, and I think a lot of people were surprised when he said that, but yeah, with World Supercross coming and stuff, that's just, you know, Ryder's got some more options now, and which honestly I'd like to see him stay over here and stuff, but I think, you know, that's, you know, the best option. At least I definitely agree with him, but going back down to the Indy results here, a couple more riders I wanted to talk about, one of them being Chris Blos. He's getting up there, a little bit better results each weekend. He was, you know, hovering right outside in the top 10 for a little bit there, but, you know, getting P6 this past weekend and slowly creeping up there and looking pretty good and holding down the fort for Pro Circuit. And this has been a wild year for those guys.
Yeah, sorry, for sure. I think it's cool that they brought Blos on to fill in. I think he's, I mean, shoot, what is he, 33 or 34 or something like that? The fact that he's getting a chance at a PC ride at this point of his career, like he was retired, and they called him, and he's basically on the couch and to fill in. And I mean, I thought he's a great choice. I wish for his sake that coming into the year he would have been like a little more prepared for it, because I think his results would have been a bit better, but at least he's starting to pick up steam and getting closer to the front. He definitely looked way more racy this past weekend with, like, better starts and, like, attacking more, not just, you know, trying to stay clean out there, so to speak.
Yeah, I think he's going to be up there. And Deegan's looking good. There's a lot of good riders this year, like Tom Viel. He's doing pretty good for his first year over here in the States doing Supercross. And I thought Martin, honestly, would be a little bit closer to the front of the pack, but honestly, like, you know, Supercross isn't his strong suit, but he's still up there, you know, had that one Triple Crown win, which was, you know, crazy last couple minutes there, but for that moto. But besides that, I thought he'd be further up there in, like, Daytona and stuff. But, like, nothing, I guess, too crazy going on in the rest of the 250 class. Just some really good racing. It's all behind Hunter, though, you know. So I just wish there was more battling for the front or up there for the win. But Smith is looking good too, which I think a lot of people were expecting him to be a little bit further back and just, you know, kind of out of it by now, but he's still doing pretty good, you know, for what his last couple years have been. Trying to pull up the Rocky Mountain stuff now too.
Yeah, it's cool to see him kind of have a second resurgence of his career, so to speak. I didn't really expect him to, like, he's right back to kind of almost where he was back on TLD, you know, fighting for podiums every weekend, which is good for him. He's still crashing way too much, which has always kind of been his forte and his problem, but it's cool to see him kind of being somewhat of a player in the field again. But yeah, touch a little bit on Jeremy, I'm with you. I for sure thought he's going to be better. And at Daytona, like, if there was going to be someone else on the podium, I was expecting him, not Hayden. Especially a rookie at Daytona. I for sure didn't see him get on the podium, which is, you know, congrats to him. Awesome for him. Talking to Garrett and hearing some stuff on Jeremy, just felt kind of tight all day. And just wasn't quite getting into the flow and the groove of stuff. And, you know, you could see it in his results and the end result. He just wasn't quite clicking, surprisingly, even though you kind of thought that. But I thought he did ride a little bit better at Indy this past weekend.
Oh, for sure. He definitely flip-flopped. Yeah, I was expecting his Indy ride at Daytona, and then, you know, if that would have flip flopped, I would have, I kind of would have predicted that, but yeah, not definitely the opposite there. That's that happened. But yeah, I think there's some, you know, there's a little bit more racing left, and I think we should, you know, besides, you know, Hunter getting more wins, I think there should be some good racing though behind him, and Deegan's looking good, like you said, and Daytona, man, he definitely surprised me, and just all day he was looking pretty good. But yeah, there's gonna be some good racing, and this, or before, you want to do the, I almost did the fantasy, where are we at? So we got 15th as a wild card, but before that, before we make our fantasy picks, you went down the Day in the Dirt, and that looked like an absolute blast down there. How was it?
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. I've always wanted to go to the event, but 2 years, like the first year they had it, I was racing Supercross, and then this past year that they had it, I was home injured, so finally got the opportunity to go and do it, and made time for it. Yeah, it was awesome time. There was a crazy amount of people there. Like I couldn't believe amount of people there, and also the amount of people there at the track at once. Like one of our classes, there was probably 200-300 people on the track at once. It was definitely way too many in my opinion, but I mean, it, lap times, like for me, I was around 5 minutes, but the average lap times, you know, towards 6-7 minutes. So it's a long enough track to get spread out, but it's still pretty hectic. You know, I was on the track sometimes with like 50 CC riders and 110s. Not a lot of them, but there was a couple of them. And which, as a parent, how can you send your kid out there, you know, with pros and, you know, big bike guys? That's no wrongdoing on the kid's part. It's all the parents that you should let that happen. But I mean, no issues as far as I'm aware of. Other than the 50 did take out my teammate in the team race on Sunday. I did a Saturday. I raced the 2-stroke expert class, I guess, and ran third for a lot of it. I was passing in the second. I guess I can give a little story here on this, but I was passing in the second, and this kid, I'll blow him out on here because I was pretty upset about it, but Aiden Shive, I think is his name. He's a Supercross, like, I think I just started seeing him in Supercross. I don't know much about this kid other than Dade City and his home place, but you know, I've seen him at some pro races, so I'm thinking, you know, he's a decent rider, right? And he's going fast, and wanted to go past him on the left over this jump, and he cross-jumped me so hard from the right to the left, and we collided in the air, landed, sent me left off the track, almost into a concrete barrier. Like I was livid. Like, and lucky for him, I was already kind of had some arm pumps, so I couldn't, you know, drop the hammer and catch back up to him. So I was gonna give some payback, teach him a lesson, I guess.
Anderson.
But I was gonna pull an Anderson on him, but I didn't. I had arm pumps, so at that point I was just kind of like managing, and I was kind of just managing at that point. Especially like when he sent me up the track, that peaked my heart rate pretty high, so there's, you know, regrouping after that. I just kind of managed it out the rest of the way. It was a long, like 30 minute race, which I hadn't raced in over a year, almost a year and a half, and I haven't even ridden much, and I'm still riding with one I covered, but it makes it a little difficult. But so it was kind of managing at that point, and Carson Brown ended up passing me, and who else? I don't know, some other guy from California, but I ended up dropping to sixth, but I was still happy with that. And, I mean, there's 20 guys out there in that class, and ended the father-son race with my dad, which was pretty awesome to do, and my dad did it on my godfather, I guess, Ron Meredith. He passed away this past year. He did it on one of his bikes, and that was the event that he always liked going to, and he tried getting us to go every year, and we just never made it happen. So this year we went, and did it for him, and it was pretty emotional weekend. But I'd ride his bike, and we did a nice pre-lap for him on Friday, and it was cool to be able to do that for him, and Red Bull and them guys letting us do that was pretty awesome. And I'll be the team race is fun with my dad, and we end up winning that. And then Sunday, we raced like the industry class team race, but I raced him. Like I was racing my friend, and he was racing with another friend of ours. And anyways, my teammate, I took off the start and I was leading, and we swapped out after the first lap, and his first lap. Took him a while to come back around, whatever, and I guess he got taken out. Well, it was the 150 senior that was out there. He went to go around the outside of him in this corner, and the 50 kid didn't turn. He went, like, straight. So
falling fair crossed it or something?
Yeah. My friend Jay, which he didn't want to – he had a 2v2 stroke. He didn't want to run the kid over, which, you know, was good for him. So he just went off the track into the fence. It's good for him not running the 50 kid over. But it's just super ironic that, of course, the 50 kid took him out. We still end up – we got third in that race. So that was cool to do that. And it's – like, I'm not even – like, the results don't really matter that much for me. This is so much fun racing again. Even that it was, like, at my top level or – you know, big national or pro race or anything. It was just a lot of fun to do it. And I like that kind of racing. You know, it wasn't just a dirt bike track, right? They have the track. You went through a horse barn. You had some sandy wood section, hard pack wood section. You jumped out on the road or paved road. And, it's kind of cool. They had this one section where you're on this paved road for probably a quarter mile and you're like wide open, and they have one of those digital speedometer things on the side of the road. Like the speed limit things, like you see when you're driving your car, and it tells you how fast you're going, and flashes if you're going too fast or whatever on the side of the street. Well, they had one of those. So it was pretty sweet, you know, wide open tuck, seeing how fast you can go.
What was your fastest that you got, that you saw?
Yeah, that I saw, I think my fastest was like 76.
Damn.
Mile an hour, which is pretty solid on a 2v2 stroke. And I know Tyler Medaglia, who won the 2 hour final race or whatever, he said he was going, I think he maxed out like 82 or something like that on his 450, and I was talking to another guy there, kind of friend of ours. He hit 80, but then to go slow down because it's kind of a winding straightaway, and then you go left like a left hand sweeper, and he's going left and slid out on the pavement.
That's the worst.
Yeah, the worst thing you think can happen, and so you got some major road rash. Like broke his foot peg, like grinded his handlebar down a little bit, and he was okay. Like he was able to race his other races and stuff. But yeah, I was scared of that, so I was being extra careful on that. I slid pretty hard sideways on the, when you get onto the pavement, you know, like the dirt gets brought out onto the pavement. So, like, I was still, like, tiptoeing, but, dude, it was, like, ice. It was so much slippery than you would imagine. I definitely had to tiptoe through there. But it was a cool feature.
I'd be nervous for sure going that fast. I remember I just absolutely got taken out. And when I was on a road bike going, like, it had to be, like, probably around 30 miles an hour. And my road rash was horrible. It was pretty bad. But I can only imagine going like 80 or something and sliding out. Oh my god! Even if the crash wasn't that bad, just falling down and you know, being in moto gear, that would suck so bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Screw that.
Road rash told the story. It was was not good. But yeah, it was an awesome event. I had a lot of fun. I need to work on a little bit of their organization for how many people are there. It's a little bit hectic, but I had a blast doing it. It's fact, just racing, like I said, has been so long for me. Just that alone was fun, but then the track was cool and a good event for sure. For sure, going back next year.
Yeah, it seemed really cool. Like one day, I want to get a bike again. Been without a bike forever, but I think that would be definitely a cool race to do. And one thing I think not that many people notice or realize. I know a few people that follow you and stuff that are obviously aware of it. But yeah, like you have that one eye covered, and some of your videos lately, you've been absolutely hauling. And how's that getting? Like, how are you getting used to that? Is it kind of somewhat normal now, or is it still a little bit odd? Just seeing with only one eye when you're trying to rail around some ruts in the corner or whatnot.
Yeah, it's for sure not normal. It's gotten a lot easier, and I did just before this race. I'll change the tape up on my or decal up on my goggles. I just had the whole left side covered, but I cut a little slit all in the left side of my lens so I can have some peripheral vision. So I can see if someone comes over my left, which that made a huge difference and made me feel a lot comfortable going racing like that. So not just completely blind on my left side, but yeah, it's tough because I really have a limited depth perception, and I figured I'd be more used to it by now than I am, but I still get caught off guard with holes, big jumps or big bumps. I can tell, but if there's any sort of the holes, divots, I can't really tell how deep they are. So that sometimes catches me off guard. So I just got to be careful coming into corners and going through rough corners and some jumps sometimes that look kickered out. I got to be conscious of it. When I'm comfortable, I can go pretty fast. I'm for sure not near the speed as I was, but the average Joe, if they go and watch me ride, and if I'm not with anyone that I normally would beat, you can't tell I really have anything eye covered. It's kind of cool. I haven't really been to too many public tracks, really, and ride open practice too many times since, I only had one eye, or riding with one eye. But when I was down in Florida, I went to PAX track and tracks and rode. I had people coming up to me like they couldn't believe how fast I was going or whatever, and they didn't even realize I had one eye covered. And they liked my big whips. I love throwing whips. I'm never gonna stop doing that. But they're complimenting on my whips and how fast I was going, and then I was like, yeah. And they asked, if I'm racing and where I race or whatever, what class I ride, and I tell them the story and why I'm not, part of the reason why I'm not racing right now. Nationals and stuff, and they don't believe me. I'm riding with one eye covered, because I was going so fast, but it's cool. I'm able to ride and scratch the itch, the urge to ride, and that race was racing there was cool. I haven't felt that feeling of racing in a little over a year, so.
Yeah, props to you for riding like that. That's crazy, but honestly, it's really cool to see you back out there. I know it's been a long time. What was that, November of 21 when you got hurt training for Paris there at club? But yeah, it seems like forever ago, but it's just pumped to see you back on the bike and getting going. And even if it's not necessarily racing professionally right now, but still really cool to see. And plus it's funny to see whenever you post something on Instagram, I have to go through the comments because there's some people on every post that or pretty much every post I think that are unaware of it, and then they see that and they're like, whoa. It's always funny to read in the comments on that, but yeah, pretty crazy.
A lot of people don't know I'm riding one eye still, and it's with one eye covered, and they don't understand. They see the videos of me riding. They're like, why aren't you racing supercross right now? Why aren't you racing outdoors? And it's like, yeah, I can't line up in a supercross race with half my goggle covered. Like, I mean, for this day in the dirt thing, fun, you know, no pressure or low pressure event, it doesn't matter what my results are. And I can do that, but I'm not going to be lining up for Detroit Supercross with tape on my goggles. I don't think AMA would let that happen.
Yeah, which I don't blame them if they didn't, you know. Like, that's,
yeah,
the Supercross is gnarly.
Take that risk either. Sure.
Yeah, Supercross is definitely gnarly enough on its own, you know, already. So, it's.
Yeah, that'd be a little hard with the depth perception issue.
Oh, my God.
Navigate that. Like, I was thinking, like, trying to, like, for Sprinter them this. I'll hopefully be good by then and be able to ride with both eyes, but, like, oh, maybe I could. Probably one eye, you know, like, but I mean, I would probably be fine on the rhythms, but the whoop section, I don't know how well I would be able to really judge that, because they're, you know, the whoops being smaller and close together, it's really hard to tell. And the divots and the bumps, you know, if it was perfectly smooth, perfectly shaped, it'd be fine, but I'm getting chewed out, it'd be a little bit hard.
Yeah, definitely. Imagine the comeback story on that, though. Like, even if you still were riding with one eye covered, like, because you were the champion, what, in 2019 in the 125 class? And that would be pretty cool. Imagine just winning that and you know, be a two-time champion there. And to top it off with, yeah, I was only riding with one eye. It would definitely suck being the other guy. It's, I guess, in any of the other races, they're racing against you, getting beat like that. But, yeah, hopefully it's good by then. You know, it's been a long, 15 months, like you said. So, you know, hopefully it gets better and where you can be back to, you know, doing whatever that you want to do and riding up with, you know, the best of the best guys. But to wrap this up, I know we wanted to keep this short. Still kind of went a little bit long, but, you know, make our fantasy picks for this weekend. We got for the Rocky Mountain wild card, it's 15th. So I guess I'll kick it off with, I still, like, every week, I don't know, kind of have an idea, then I change it throughout the week, then normally my idea in the beginning of the week was better, but, I don't know, Detroit, it seems like I go with Chase all the, I want to go with Chase all the time, but he screws me, I don't know, I'll go with him again, I swear, if he doesn't pull it off, I'm just going with him, because, you know, we all know what he's capable of doing, but, I feel like I feel like he's not going to get up there, but, I'll go with it though. Chase for the win. Eli for second, Webb for third, Barsha fourth, Anderson fifth. And for the wild card, which is 15th, I'll go with, let's go with Hill, but he's getting up there further than 15th. I'll go with, Kyle Chisholm for 15th. So there is my Rocky Mountain picks for the 450 class for this weekend, which I guess we'll see how that plays out. Like I said, I always change them, which I kind of want to do a thing where we save all the picks from all the guests that are on the show, along with my picks for when on the podcast here, because I want to see if they're anywhere, like how they would shape up against my points right now in Rocky Mountain, which I know I'm not doing too good. Like, you're definitely up there a lot further than I am.
Yeah, like, dude, like, this is your Wednesday picks versus what your actually Saturday is, and like how they'll pan out. Yeah, that'd be interesting. For me this week, I think I'm gonna go Webb first, Chase second, Tomac third, Barsha fourth, Roxon fifth, and then I'm thinking Josh Hill 15th.
Yeah, I was thinking him too.
Which,
he screwed me over before this year, so I can't. That's why I went against him.
Yeah, which Josh has been better than 15th, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, he got a P11 last week.
11th last week?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I can just pick myself. Not on the list still. But yeah, I think I just submitted that, so it probably will change. I'm going to watch practice. I'll be there Saturday watching practice and see what happens. But at least I got the pick submitted. See how it goes. I'm set in 26,000th place.
I'm way, I'm like 90s. Like, I miss like two or three races. Like, Dean has to text me every week to let me know, because sometimes, like, I'll just wait till practice to make my picks, and I get caught up with work and everything, and I get caught up with whatever the heck I'm doing on the weekends. And the last couple weeks, Dean's like, hey, have you got your fantasy picks in? Like, because he knows I missed so many rounds. Like, it had to be at least three this year. But even besides that, that's not my excuse for doing bad, because I don't know. I pick Chase all the time to win, and Eli wins. And whenever I pick Eli, Chase or someone else wins. So, definitely not have Roxon this week, though. So,
I try to do my picks. Like, I set a team, like, you know, right after the weekend. Like, when I check the picks on Sunday, what my score was, I try to put picks in then. So if I forget, I have a team in.
And especially, too, because they go off of, if you're, like, winning a prize or something, they go off of whoever submitted them first, too. So if you know, feel comfortable with those picks, you know, later on in the week, you know, probably be a good chance on, if you do get, like, a perfect set of, you know, picks there, that, you know, you can be up there further.
Sure.
But,
wrap it up.
That's it. Like we said, a lot of good racing's been happening. India was pretty crazy with Roxon getting the win, and Barcia being up there as well. So those two guys are definitely two to keep our eyes on for sure, and along with, you know, a lot of other guys too, like Anderson and stuff. But should be some really good racing. We'll both be in Detroit, so which will be cool. I know it's a lot better being at, you know, the track, seeing everything and practice and seeing how everything plays out. So hopefully I can get some info up for our Instagram here. But thank you for hopping on here, and hopefully we can get you in the studio here in the next couple of weeks. I know Dean's probably in here next week, and get going and get some more episodes produced here. But thank you guys so much for listening, and peace out. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch, too, and I have a set on my pit bike, and they look cool, have that Geico theme going on, and rest in peace, Geico Honda. Have that going, and that looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram, and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos, and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too. So I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at whiskey_throttle_grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio.